Last Sunday, for those of you who were here, we journeyed to Bethlehem and we discovered the real gifts of Christmas. And now today we journey to Jerusalem. So I pray we will enjoy the journey and understand a little bit more about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We know that the babe was born, obviously, on what we consider to be Christmas. And we almost romanticize it. We almost, you know, there's the stable and the manger and Jesus in the manger. And then we have Christmas the next morning. And then we look forward to New Year. And then we just sort of, oh, well, that's it, right, for the year. But there's so much more to that life that they walked, especially when you see in verse 21 alone, after 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus. Now, all of you who have had babies before know what a newborn child is like. There are diapers to consider. There are feeding issues sometimes, nights without sleep, and all of these complications. They were in a stable. And I have to be honest, it must have been smelly. And none of the convenience of home or hospital. So it's really awesome that they were willing to follow God and do what they were told and allow this story to unfold so that all of us could sit here today in our warm church and minister and worship our Lord and Savior. So after 8 days, so she knew. And how do we know what those 8 days were like after the birth of Jesus? We don't know if someone invited them into their home or not. There was no room in the inn. I don't know that it says anywhere that they changed their minds. So 8 days they had to cope with this newborn. And then they had to travel. After 8 days again had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. There's another issue there. What if they hadn't listened to the angel? And Joseph said, "Forget it, Mary. That's not my child. I'm out of here." But he didn't. And Mary didn't panic. She simply listened and waited for what was to happen. Then, when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem. And if you look at a map, Bethlehem is just, or Jerusalem is just kind of northeast from Bethlehem. And they traveled, obviously, with a newborn child again, and probably with the donkey. But I'm sure it wasn't easy. We don't know exactly what the weather was like. But they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Now, in those days, if you read the Old Testament, you're going to find out a couple of things. One, that a woman who bore a child was considered unpure. If it was a male child, it was for 40 days, and they had to go to a service to be considered pure again. And also, if it was a girl child, and I don't know why, the mother was unpure for 80 days. So, here's Mary and Joseph following the law to a T, doing what they are told. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, here's another thing about Mary and Joseph that's awesome. Normally, it's a lamb that's sacrificed, but if you couldn't afford a lamb, then they suggested 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So we know that Mary and Joseph didn't have much money. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Israel was under great persecution all the time and suffering. Simeon, by the way, if you look at the commentaries, we find out that he's well over 200 years old. And God is using him. Usually when we hit 50, oh, it's a downhill from here. It's all over. We probably won't make it to 100, so our life is more than half over. What are we going to do? I didn't do all the things I wanted and all that kind of stuff. Forget it. Do what God wants, and our lives will be so fulfilled. Here's a man who waited well over 200 years to have a glimpse of the Messiah. And watch what happens. And the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. How awesome. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. Now, what are the chances without God? Here's Mary and Joseph following the law to a T, getting to that temple for purification, and then along comes Simeon the same day, and they meet in the temple. See how God orders our footsteps? There's a plan there for us. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace," because he's going to pass away because he has seen the Messiah, "according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." And watch this, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. What a statement to make. He opened his mouth and spoke aloud of what God had told him in his hearts. I wonder if we ever take the risk to say out loud what God is speaking in our hearts. What if Simeon hadn't? Look at that. Certainly the people of Israel, the Jewish culture, knew that they had been set apart by God and they were anticipating a Messiah. They weren't too sure it was Jesus, by the way, but they anticipated it. But here's Simeon saying, and guess what? It's not just for Israel. It is for all Gentiles. It is for the world that Jesus has come. Look at Mary and Joseph here. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel. Some would believe and some would not believe. And to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There's that foreshadowing. That's why I put that picture in the bulletin today, in the sermon area there. It's the foreshadowing of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Awesome. Awesome for Simeon to do this. Now, there was also a prophet, Anna, a woman, of all things. She too had a great relationship with God. And this is how God used her the very same day. So he ordered her footsteps to be in the temple. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of, 84. And God used her. Anybody 84 here? You dare to put up your hands? God can use us at any age. Now, before I go on, there's an example I want to share with you. I do a service at the Meadows of Dorchester on Wednesday mornings, and these are all long-term care people. But they come in their wheelchairs and their walkers. No matter what, they come to the service. And I shared with them that same journey to Bethlehem as I shared with you last Sunday. And again, someone came forward afterward and wanted a copy of something I had read. And some of you know here, I don't give out those copies just because I want them to stay fresh, because I keep being asked to do these services at Christmas time. So I said to her, and I felt God moved me, to tell her that I would bring in a calendar. Anybody familiar with Sarah Young? She's a wonderful writer. She writes, the way she writes, she's scripturally based, fabulously scripturally based, but she writes as if it's Jesus speaking directly to all of our hearts. And there's 365 of them in this one little calendar. So I suggested to this woman that came to me, and there was one more that came after. I said, if you wait a few minutes, I'll suggest something that's going to be even better than what you heard on that Christmas program. By the time I explained to them, I said to the one woman in particular, because she asked me first, and this one woman is paralyzed. Half of her body is paralyzed. And when I talked to her about she could bring this in to the chapel during the week, invite people to come, listen to the devotion, ask a couple of questions if you can find them in the devotion, which you can, and pray with each other. By the time I explained to her, she wept. She wept not in sadness, but at the very thought that God could use her in her condition. And folks were in great shape compared to her shape. God can use us in that condition. Yesterday I got a phone call. She was so excited. She said three people came, it was successful, and we talked about it, and more are coming now. Isn't that awesome? And she's not a minister. She's not an elder. She's just a normal, everyday person like you and I. And she took the challenge. I can't wait to see her on Wednesday to see what the good Lord is going to do. So you see, God used a man, Simeon, who was well over 200 years old. He used Anna, who was 84 years old. So no more saying, oh dear, my life is done. There's no room for anything else for me now. Forget it. Anna never left, listen to this, Anna never left the temple but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. I think we can learn a lot from this word today. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. What boldness of spirit they both had. They didn't care who was going to criticize and condemn, and believe you me, I'm sure there were many around. And then if we look lastly at what Paul has to say in Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem, to set free from sin, those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If we in our prayer times can call out, Abba, Father, you'll feel it in your hearts if you haven't done that already. You will experience the presence of God because he has gotten to a place where not only are we trusting him, but he has to be able to trust us. How can he give us what he gave to Simeon and Anna if in our hearts we're negative? Or critical, or judging, or any of those things. He can't use us. And I'm sure, I saw a picture once of a world and Jesus watching over the world with tears running down his face. I understand that. Because we often forget we have everything we need in the Messiah, in the Christ. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And if we are adopted as His children, we share with Jesus all rights to God's resources. There isn't anything. You can't leave here today and say, but I don't have this, or I don't have that. If you don't have it, then you're not meant to have it at this moment in time. See what we do have in Christ. Take that forth. Be bold. And speak the word of God. And we will rejoice. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, how we love looking at the life of Mary and Joseph. The life of Jesus. And Lord, this is just the beginning. But in their obedience, they grew strong to obey your word, that we might be humbled and be blessed. O Lord our God, we pray for the world today. It's in trouble. And you need our help. And we're willing to open up our hearts and cry out, Abba, Father, show us our talents. Show us our abilities. Show us our ministry individually and as the one body of Christ here at St. Andrew's. Lord, this is the beginning of a brand new year. There's much for us to do, that when you return, you will be able to rejoice with us instead of shedding tears. Lord, we pray for all those who are less fortunate than ourselves, the street people right now in this cold. Dear God, remind us to give and to help out where we can and to show the love of God, the mercy and grace of God. We pray for those having surgery even perhaps today, or preparing for surgery, or feeling lost and alone. Bless them and encourage them. Lord God, we need you. And we thank you for your patience, your love, your hope, your peace, and your joy. We would pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen closely to our hymn.